and the title weight, choosing that would be awesome.
Okay. So, Erev Tavshilin is for cooking on Friday for Shabbos. If you might say that, hey, I'm not doing any cooking on Friday. Erev Tavshilin means you take an egg, a hard-boiled egg, and you take a matzah, and you hold, so you have one thing which is baked, one thing which is cooked, boiled, and you hold it in your hands. It's quite a stark akbada. There's a strong akbada to hold in your hand at the time that you make the bracha and say the nusach. So the person were quite into that. They should hold it.
No, you're on a plate.
You can hold on a plate, but you should hold it with your hands. Not just be on the table. Sometimes you've got the machzah, the shlos machzah, and they always close on itself. So you're holding both hands to keep it open. You've got to make sure you're holding the Erev. It's quite a stark akpada. The Loshna Bis Yosef is that Yitzel Yodov, Yitzlena Bi Yodov, you should hold it with his hand. That seems to be akpada by Erev Tavshilin more than other things, to hold on to the matzah and the egg. You make the bracha. Again, all this is dafka on Erev Yom Tov, which is Erev Yom Tov this year. Well, this time it's Thursday morning. There's always Shain and Shevet Halev, you can't do the night before. The night before is only in a gear too when it comes to Sukkot or Pesach or Sunday Rosh Hashanah, where people are nervous, they might be too busy, so then Shevet Halevi's got Shuvah, can he do it the night before? Erev Tavshilin has to be done on the Erev. Now, we haven't got the Shaila because it's not much of a night. So really, Erev Yom Tov is no problem. You just pick up the matzah, you pick up the egg, and you make the bracha, you say the nusach. Very nice. That allows you to cook and allows you to light neiros. Very nice. But if you're not planning on cooking, you're not planning to add even any water into the urn, Shabbos urn, on Friday for Shabbos, then you can't make a bracha. It's a very important halacha to know. Even for lighting candles, which the Mishabur says you should do it for lighting candles, because it's machlok is Rosh and Rambam, according to the Rambam, there's no need for Erev Tavshilin, just for lighting candles. Therefore, you wouldn't be able to go ahead and make a bracha. So sometimes, some people say that they're eating out the meals, Friday night meal they're eating out, and Shabbos day is a bidyeva. Someone told me also, he's eating out Friday night, Shabbos day, they don't. I said, what's with your cholent? He's not having cholent. Well, I'm not asking personal questions. Why? At the end of the day, he doesn't have cholent, he's having a bit of egg, there's no melachas involved. So if there's no melachas involved, then he can't make a bracha. If he's eating in Friday night, then the chicken soup is already enough to be mechayev him to make a bracha, because Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to do bishlach abishl badova lach. Badova yoveish, you can say, if let's say you would only have to heat up a bit of kugel or chicken, which hasn't got much gravy, so you can say it's dova yoveish, he's still not doing malach abishl. If a person's really avoiding any bishl, he can't make a bracha on Erev Tavshilin. That's also a very important malacha. You're right. If a person just adds one cup into his water cup, into the urn, just for headspace and taka, because he feels he needs it in case he needs it, that's enough to make a bracha. That's quite interesting. Huh? Exactly. Sometimes on Shabbos, you're not having a... You're right. Shabbos, Friday night, people, what do people do? They have, those people have milchik second night, they have milchik even if it's Shabbos? Even if it's Friday night? Usually not. Friday night nisht. Okay. So usually there will be chicken soup if you're having a meal at home. But if you're eating out, you're not doing a melacha. That brings us to the shaila of people who sometimes stay by someone else's house for Yom Tov. It's Neger. Young couples go to their parents or in-laws and they go and stay there. And... are they covered with the bala, let's call it the balabais, the father, father-in-law, I don't care who he is, the grandfather, whoever they're staying by, are they covered with the balabais's Erev Tavshilin? They moved in, they come an hour before, all huffed and puffed, and they bring in all their things, and they come along, they make a mess, and they want to know, are they covered with the balabais? Yeah. He's done it a few hours ago. Are they covered? So, Mr. Brewer brings about the case of Mishareses, a person who's got a Jewish worker working for a Jewish girl working for them in Mishareses, the lady that they used to have. And Mr. Brewer says, Bialocha says, I'm not sure, should she have to make her own Erev Tavshilin? She's working for Balabais, for Shimon, and Shimon does his own Erev Tavshilin. Bialocha says, it could be she, this Mishareses, has to make her own Erev Tavshilin. Because the kubish is not covered with the balabais, because she's got a separate yad in herself. She's got a separate hand. If Shimon was to give her something to acquire for someone else, to do a kinyan for someone else, we know that that's got, the halacha is that she's got a yad, mishareses, has got a yad in order to be makner for other people. So too, it could well be that, and the halacha does say there, that it could be she should have to make her own erev tafshilin.
So she's got it in her parents' house, and she goes to help somebody. She's in somebody else's house.
Yeah, that's back to another halacha. If a person does erev tafshilin himself, they can do malacha to someone else's, with someone else, that shochanoch is masbir, that person can cover himself and that would be okay. It's on the person who covered. It's like the insurance and the car insurance. Is it third part? Is it the gavra or the chefsa? Once the person does in,
you can do it anyway.
He's covered himself.
From her father, she's not done it herself.
Right,
she's
right,
father,
right.
Could she now do it in somebody else's hands?
Yeah, it's a bit tricky. No, it's a bit tricky. What you would have to do is you would have to be makna the food to the person who did the erev. I don't want to get confused because it is a bit confusing. This case over here is when a person goes to stay by someone else, and now they want to know, are they covered with the erev tafshilin which the balabai has made? If they are covered, then they'll be like everyone else. What happens with like everyone else if they want to cook by someone else there? You have to do all the rules of what they do. But if they want to just cook in that house itself, they want to add a bit of water, they want to make the cholent, so the mother is typically telling the daughter, I don't know if it's the common practice now to ask the daughter to do anything, they don't do much work. But what's this? Yes, you can have people coming in and they say, please, you know, can you make supper for the children? Well, then supper already will probably be still a Friday afternoon before. But you can, yeah, you can. All these things can happen. So are you covered automatically with the balabais?
My kids are definitely covered even if they're not there when I make it.
Yeah. The kids are there, yeah. Very good. Chol ador be'erzois, Mishabur already says clearly it's meaningless. Mishabur says, a Rav who wants to be mezakeh l'chol adorim be'erzois, he has to do a kinyan, he has to get someone else. The way a kinyan works is I can't be makna to you. If I own my paper, I can't be makna this to you. It can't be yours. I can pick up all day, it won't be yours. I'll have to go to you and say, please pick up the paper on your behalf. That's fine. We just did that. I just told that to someone yesterday. Someone said his mother-in-law called him to say she needs a thermos flask. Okay, what does a good son-in-law do? He goes to the shop, buys a thermos flask. And on the way to give it to her, he thinks anger, so she's not capable of going to out here to start tabling it. She's housebound. So can he do it for her? So he said the problem is that it's got to belong to the person who uses it. It's no good the son-in-law doing the tefillah. The halacha of tefillah's kelim is that the person who uses it, they have to do the tefillah. So what's the solution? To make it belong to the mother-in-law. Now how is he supposed to make it belong to the mother-in-law? He can pick up all day, it won't belong to the mother-in-law. He has to go to someone random. He says he's going to find someone by the MH car park and ask them, can you please pick it up for my mother-in-law? Then it's his mother, then it belongs to the mother-in-law. So once someone else picks it up on their behalf, it belongs to them. Zochel la'odon shle b'fonav. Okay, that belongs to the mother. Then afterwards, he goes along and tovels, Shlomo Zalman Oebach already says, that's okay, as long as you know clearly that they're going to use it, so it's not going to be a bracha levatola, then that's okay.
I mean, the case which you're talking about with the maidservant was one which I found out some rich families in England had a Jewish cook and a Jewish and their house.
Correct.
And they ate separately in the house. In other words, there was a maidservant who
it's a good point. You're saying perhaps the Mishareses, they had their own table. I'll tell you the hitch to it is, after the Mishabura brings the Mishareses, he brings the Rosh that says that she needs to make her own one. He says, Aval Hamachza Shekel holds she doesn't have to make her own one because she's eating together with the Balabais.
So
if she's eating separately, you're right, then definitely she's going to have to need one. But even if she's eating together with, you see the Bialok understood that the Mishareses is talking about that she's still eating with, and there's still a Machlokes Rosh and Machza Shekel. But it's a good point. I just want to mention one thing, is that when we're saying over here that couples who go to the parents for Yom Tov and they want to know if they're covered, really, ideally, they should make their own Erev, and usually without a bracha, because they're not usually going to do much. Maybe clear up the table. If you're lucky, sometimes, you know, when you get the young couples, they can barely do anything. But when they're not going to do any malacha, they're not going to do any bishul, then you can say that they don't have to do Erev Tafshilin at all, because some hold that they're included in the balabai. You have something called a Svek Sveka. It could be you don't need to do Erev Tafshilin at all because they're not doing malacha, they're just doing Hadlokas Neiris. And it could be that they are potter, they become part of the Balabais is Erev Tavshilin. So therefore, you have something called a Svek Sveka. Wait, so Erev Tavshilin is complicated. It could spend hours. I like the topic of Erev Tavshilin. We spoke a lot about it this morning. I want to try and cover a few other things because Kanan Hor Shavuos does involve quite a lot. I want to go straight into a few other topics over here. You've got... Go on. What's this? Who should have it? The Balabais? So I tell you what, I don't think it helps at all if the Bala Bais has a mind at the time that he picks up his matzah and the egg that should cover all the Bnei Bais. What's mind going to help? Mind doesn't do anything. I can have in mind that my watch should belong to you, and I think about it for 24 hours straight, and it still won't belong to you. Right? It's a kinyon, and you need to have a kinyon. It needs to be something. Either someone picks it up on their behalf, or the son-in-law picks it up himself, or
he picks it up and then I make the Tavshilin.
That's good. That's good, because then it's all he's got a chelik in it. So it's not clear that just by having a mind will help. In fact, the Mishavur says explicitly, when you get to the Rav, the God of the who wants to be mezakah to everyone, he says clearly that he has to get someone else to be zeichah for people. Again, it's extremely complicated. I wish I had 2 hours to lay out all the ins and outs of Erev Tavshilin to get a full understanding. But the nekuda which we want to say for our share was that people which are, again, if you're not cooking yourself, then you don't make a bracha on the Erev Tavshilin that you make. And if you move into someone else, it's not so clear that you're covered. But if again, all you're doing is lighting candles, then you don't need to do anything. Then you've got something called a Svek Sveka. Okay, matchstick. You take a matchstick on Yom Tov. What's that loch about fire? Getting fire from an existing flame. A lot of people have a minik, they light a yahrzeit candle, so they have like a backup candle that they can use for when they want. This person for this person for this. For adlokas neiros, so you have a spare candle for adlokas neiros even. What's that loch? You can take a matchstick and get fire from an existing flame. Now, the interesting halacha when you get fire from an existing flame is that ideally, when you put the matchstick in the fire, it should go into the actual flame, not a bit, not 2 inches above, in a way, not a little bit above, a few centimeters above, not above it, because then some posts can say, hang on a second, you have created that fire fresh. Think about it. When you strike a match, you're creating the fire, right? Because whatever you're doing scientifically. So the same should apply. The heter is that you can take a matchstick and put it, get fire from the fire. What's this?
Both sides of the matchstick or not the...
Very good. Rav Chaim's quoting the Evan Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Fisher, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, he had a minhag that he never used the mushroom part. The what do we call it? The one which has got the sulfite. What's it called? What's the English word? The matchstick, the one that you usually use, which has got that thickness to it, he never used it that way. On Yom Tov, he always turned it the other way, because he was nervous that because it's very flammable, and it's very normal to put it like a few centimeters above the flame, he was nervous that people would get fire from the heat, and not from the flame. And the horror over here is that many posts can flag this up, and they say, Yom Tov, you can't create fire. So if you put the tip of the matchstick where it's flammable, a couple of centimeters above the flame, and it's catching fire from the heat, and not from the fire, kumtos, you've sort of created that flame. It's an interesting chat. You would have thought, who cares? It's from an existing flame. The flame's there, and I've got it from the flame. But they're saying like this: you didn't get it from the flame. You created it from the heat. What would be if you just imagine you take the matchstick and you go to somewhere, your hot plate or something? How would you view that? Would you view that as like you created the fire, or you're getting fire from somewhere else? It's also Shaila. It's not so clear. It won't work. Some of them do. It depends which ones it is. Some of them would. Which one?
I've seen it done once.
Oh.
From a hot plate
to get it. Yeah, the Ramesh has got a shiv on this. So some place can flag that up to say there's a mile of doing that. Okay, let's move on to another completely different thing. What's we lay in Aseres Adibros when it comes to the first day Shavuos. You'll see when it comes to the reading of Aseres Adibros, you'll hear a lot of chairs moving around, right? And then everyone's standing up for Aseres Adibros. So there's this Truva Harambam that wasn't so happy about it, because they said that, you know, are you not choshes that people will think that, this is Torah, and all the rest of it is Nisht Mamish Torah, Nisht Torah's Emes. The main Torah is Aseres Adibros, and the rest of it is not really part of Torah's Moshe, which is Apikoroses. So they were a bit bothered about that, And lo maser, you have Rav Moshe Feinstein, Shrine Chai V'Kayim, is absolutely fine. It's no shaykhus to the other Gemara. The Gemara that speaks about this problem is talking about a different context where you're not mentioning anything besides Vaseres HaDibros. There's a chashash that people will think is only Vaseres HaDibros, but Shekhin over here, you're laning everything. You lane last week and this week, and you're laning before Vaseres HaDibros. The Rav Moshe says it's not negate the whole thing, and therefore you can stand up like the minig. You'll see, I think the Rova Olam is that they stand up when it comes to Vaseres HaDibros. You'll see more and more people standing up at the beginning of that aliyah, yeah, to avoid the shayla. They're foreseeing that there's epis of shayla involved, that they know that standing up by a sosa dibris is a bit of a shayla, so they'll stand up by the aliyah, and that they'll gain. You find some place, you know, there's a bit of a deal about standing up for Krishna. You know, in the morning, let's say you happen to sit down by Avarabba, and you stand up for Krishna. We know that you're not supposed to stand up Lasir Krishna. But if you stand up already, let's say you have you've got pins and needles, you need to stand up or something. If you stand up from Avarabba, the place can say that's already okay. You've shown that it's not for Krishna. So the same thing over here. You stand up from the beginning of Aliyah, that's going to be okay. That's also something which seems to be okay. When you mean turning hot water on your tap?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of houses that a lot of boilers that we have is a combi boiler.
Yeah.
Combi boiler is a big box, and basically means that you've got cold water the whole time. There's no hot water. And when you turn on the hot water, then you ignite the machine, which heats the cold water as it passes. It's an amazing thing. And really, when you turn the hot water there, you basically switched on the machine. So that's definitely a no-no. And certainly, showers is out as well, and you can't even wash up dishes. Whereas when it comes to a conventional boiler, which is not a combi, it's one of these big cylinders up that you have upstairs, which makes the whole room hot upstairs, and it stores a lot of hot water. And then you can turn that on Yom Tov if it's for something that is shovel chol nefesh, like washing your hands, washing dishes, those sort of things. But showers, here the issue, not well. Well, what would you be doing it for? What's the for Shabbos? Yep, you're lighting it for Shabbos. Yeah, it's not so clear. What are you doing for Shabbos? Again, if you turn it on, the hot water. Yeah, you won't. What we're looking for Erev Tashlichin is something that you're doing on Friday. That is Lasur Shabbos. So this is where the hitch comes. When it comes to showers, there's a bit of a myth to think that when you have a shower, which the hot water is not coming from a combi. Everyone knows combi is a big problem. You turn on the hot water, you immediately switched on the machine. It's like switching on your computer on Yom Tov. Obviously that doesn't come in. So if people know, if you don't have a combi boiler, you know the square, you know what I'm talking about, the square machine. You have one of these big cylinders, you think you're okay because you haven't turned on the machine. The mistake to that is that there's cold water coming in the whole time, right? So when you take hot water out, cold water comes in. Now that cold water obviously becomes hot because you've got hundreds of liters of hot water, and when cold water comes in, the cold water is going to get hot. Now, if you're using the hot water for something that you're allowed to even cook that water for. So let's say you have cold water, the halacha is you're allowed to heat up cold water in order to wash your hands, you're allowed to heat up hot water to do the dishes, because it's all things which are shovel chol nefesh. But to have a shower on Yom Tov, the post can take on that it's not considered shovel chol nefesh. Why it's not, that's a whole sugya, everyone's got a different reason. And nowadays you can question that, people have showers the whole time. So why is that not shovel chol nefesh? It should certainly be shovel chol nefesh. But the place would say it's not shovel chol nefesh. Could you heat up, can you take a pot, a big pot of water, cold water, and put it on the stove for a couple of hours, and make sure it's very hot, and then put it in your bath? And then have a bath on Yom Tov. Is that okay on Yom Tov? You're heating up water for something which is not considered shovel chol nefesh. It's a very funny concept. If you take a small pot of cold water and put it on the stove for the purpose of washing up your dishes, you're going to fill it up with water and you're going to have a nice lukewarm mixture, it'll be very geschmack. There's no problem heating up water, letzorech, washing dishes, washing your hands, your face, yeah, that's fine. But once you're cooking water, heating up water, for a bath for the whole body, which for some reason, which I haven't got time to explain, is not considered shovel chol nefesh, then you... Then what's, if you analyze it, you're basically heating up water for something which is not shovel chol nefesh. That's where the bit of the chumra comes from. That even if you've got a machine, you've got a non-combi boiler. According to this over here, it would only be in a case where you have that the cold water switched off. If you're able to switch off the valve, the cold water valve that no cold water comes in.
Switch off the heat.
If you can switch off the valve, then you have
heat,
but you should know there's problems even after that. Someone told me that he's able to switch off the cold valve. But there's another problem because this person doesn't put only hot water. He puts cold too hot. So it's a mixture. It's a whole mumchis to make sure you get it right. You've also got a mixture of cold water as well. Now that cold water is also being heated by the hot water to provide a very good.
Yeah, but only to lukewarm though.
Only to lukewarm, but the cold has been.
No cold water would come in. I use what I've got in the tank. That's it.
It's boiling.
If you can close, it'll be boiling hot. If you can close off that cold water, then you're fine. It'll be quite hot. But the thing is, you're going to have the cold water coming in. Another thing is, by the way, you have to realize that when you wash hair on Yom Tov, it's not even so clear. This all deals with the other problems. But I don't understand, before you come onto Shechita, you've also got a problem. Practically speaking, how do you wash hair in a way that no hair comes out? Even if you're going to use runny head and shoulders, anything which is not even proper thick, surely have you not got a problem that is there not a secretion that there's some hair is going to come out? Sorry? Yeah, so if a person rubs his hair, so even before schita, just by running water, running water over the hair, not touching it, so here there's no shadow of goizes, of taking out hair. But if a person rubs his hair, especially with head and shoulders, I think statistically, you have to correct me if I'm wrong, maybe it's due, that usually there's hair that comes out, and that could be a shadow of, a subsequation of goizes. So you would have to do... If what? Yeah, but that deals with the water. So now let's say we've dealt with the cold water. You switched off the valve. So you got, let's say, in some of the cases, you got the hot water coming out, just hot water, and then you've also got to deal with all the other malachas of goizes. I'm just wondering, is it normal to rub hair and to make a nice kashmaka clean without pulling out hair? I don't know. Usually you see a bit of hair. It depends. Maybe some people yesh for yesh. Okay, so that's the when you get to that, and you've also got schita to deal with. Some poskim are okay with schita because they say it's going into the towel, but a lot of poskim they say that you've just got to dab the towel, and that way you get around schita. Sure.
Yeah.